Right. Good morning, Melbourne Church of Christ. Great to be with you again. And we are on our fourth Sunday of the month, and that means it's a Q and R day, question and response. And it's been a little while back, maybe 3 years or so, but Danny Brightwell came to me and we had a conversation about the intercessory role of Jesus. And he raised the question, how does Jesus intercede for us today? And we all know that Jesus interceded at the cross. But the real question is, what does that intercession look like today? And Danny, it took me 3 years to put it together. I kept looking up intercessor, intercession, intercessory, and those spellings. And what I didn't figure out is that if you don't look up mediator and advocate with it, you don't get very far. So I have put this together in a little bit of a different package, and we're going to look at three concepts that all have overlapping, but they are distinct, and we're going to make those distinctions this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with number one that, well, you'll have to hit the slide for me. There we go. Number one, mediator. We got a new computer, so it's just not working yet, but we'll get that going this week. Read with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5 to 6, and we'll kick this off. Scripture says there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Now, I didn't put this on your paper because I wrote it after I had already printed it. But by definition, a mediator is a go-between, a spokesperson, a reconciler, and get this, an intercessor, by definition. I had always missed that, but I picked it up this time. Now, we all know that Jesus is our bridge that connects us to God so we can have complete peace where there was once hostility. And we know that because of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at the language of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writes there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And Paul emphasizes his fleshly body. So Christ was both divine and he was both human at the same time. And he's the only sufficient mediator between God and man. So only Jesus can understand where both parties are coming from. Jesus understands God, but he understands humanity. And we need someone playing that role of mediator. And that's exactly why Jesus is the one who gives us access to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said that no one comes to the Father but through me. That's his role as mediator. Now, the next passage explains this a little further. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and following. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but we do have a high priest who has been tempted in all things just like us, yet without sin. Therefore, because of this, let us draw near with confidence to God's throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, if you've ever been in a time of need and you've needed grace, this is the roadmap of how to get to the feet of God. And another word for mediator is high priest. And when you look back at the Old Testament, the Old Covenant that was made by the blood of animals, the high priest was a mediator between God and the nation of Israel. And the high priest would take the blood sacrifice of animals, he would cut their throats, catch some of the blood, and then he would offer it to God so there would be peace between God and men. And God takes sin so seriously that when people sin, a life has to be taken. And that blood represents the death. And that death covers over that sin. That's how that works. And by doing this, what God did is He opened up a door of access to anybody that approaches God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's the gospel in a nutshell, okay? And it's hard to get at quickly, but I'm going to do the best I can in this time. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. Our mediator is Jesus, and He's been tempted in every way possible when He was a human being, but He was without sin. And because of that, church, that's exactly where we find our confidence to approach the throne room of our God. And that is mediation. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and following. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, through the curtain that was in the temple, that is His flesh. So you got to catch this. The veil in the temple is Jesus' flesh. It's His body. That relates to our Lord's Supper we just took. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So today we can enter this holy place of God where God dwells, and we do that by the blood of Jesus. And that's why He was both God and man. It is Jesus' body and blood that provide the new living way to approach our God, to approach the Father. So Jesus is the sacrifice that provides our continual cleansing before the Lord. And church, that's exactly why we can draw near to God with a pure heart, and we can ask Him for forgiveness in the first place. But what I love about this passage, it says we can do that with the full assurance of faith in our own hearts. We have confidence to approach our God when we don't feel like we're enough. Now that's good news. And we need to know how to get to Him. And that's what we're going to unpack with this intercessory role. But it's precisely how Jesus, He bridges the gap between us and God, because He's provided everything that we need. Our job is to actually believe what the Bible says, to love Jesus, and then to do what it says. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple, but we got to dive in to find out what these things are, and we do have to believe. We've got to have that faith. But the Father, in a nutshell, He accepts our worship when we allow Jesus to become our mediator through His blood sacrifice. Now, Jesus did not come as a mediator to bring peace between man and God only. He also did that to bring peace between one another, because sometimes we have a little conflict with one another. So Jesus covers that whole spectrum. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and following, Jesus Himself is our peace, who made both groups. You see, they had split themselves up into multiple groups, but He made both groups into one, and He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Some versions of Scripture say it was the hostility of a dividing wall, so that in Himself, Jesus might make the two different groups into one new man, establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity, the hostility. The hostility was put to death, and I love that language. Jesus preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have our access in one spirit to the Father. So Jesus brought peace to Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you've been through or what you've done. Jesus has, through His blood, His sacrifice, brought peace. So now both parties can be reconciled in one body, in unity to God, and that only happens through the cross of Jesus Christ. Now in verse 18 at the end of this passage, we find out that we have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to note here is that we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all working on our behalf at the same time. Okay, so hold on to that. You're going to need that at the end of this. But we're going to move into number two, to the next slide. Jesus is also our advocate. Okay, He's an advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Now, the goal is don't sin. But watch the language. If anyone sins, if you do, although John doesn't want us to, we have an advocate with the Father, and His name is Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is the million-dollar word that means they're gone. Okay? We'll just leave it that simple. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So by definition, an advocate is a helper, a comforter, a counselor. Does that sound familiar by any chance? That is the definition for the Holy Spirit as well. But Danny, it blew me away, because when you get down to the end of that Greek definition, it says an intercessor. An intercessor. And an advocate is one who pleads for you. An advocate gives evidence that stands up in a court of law. And an advocate is very similar to a defense attorney that comes along your side to help you when you need it. And you cannot provide that help yourself. Now, the best example I could think of in Scripture is found in Acts chapter 9, verse 21. All those hearing him, this was Saul. Saul was the previous name of the Apostle Paul before his conversion into Christianity. But all those hearing Saul continued to be amazed, saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on Jesus' name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound in chains before the chief priests?" We see before Saul became known as Paul, he tried to join the church, and he was killing Christians, he was having them killed, and he was having them thrown in jail. And all of a sudden, he tries to join this group of Christians, and they're like, "Get out of here, man. We're not that dumb. Get on down the road." Now, I don't quite blame him. Okay? I don't. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. In Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. Saul was trying to associate with the disciples, with Christians. But they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, look at this language. But Barnabas took hold of Saul. He put his arm around him and brought him to the apostles and described to them. You can go read the Bible. This is really quirky language. I put it real simple. He described to these guys Paul's experience with Jesus, that he was a changed man. Okay? That's the easy way to put it. So Barnabas comes alongside this man that is known for murdering people. And he vouched for him. He gave his word. And in essence, Barnabas was saying, "Hey, this guy's really a Christian. It's not a trick. It's not deception. He was just baptized into Christ. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's not the same person because he's been transformed." You see? And I'm putting my good word out there. And when Barnabas played the role of a mediator and an advocate, Saul was then accepted as a disciple. And not very long after this, Saul was given a new name and a new identity. Completely. And his new name was Paul. And sometimes we need a new name. Amen. Sometimes we need an old identity before Jesus to be erased so we can let go of that old sense of identity and have a brand new one. And that is what Jesus Christ is all about. That's what entering into covenant does for us. Now, on a side note, I just want you to know that Paul wrote half the New Testament. And that really goes to show that no human being is beyond the reach of our God. Amen. You know, if a known murderer can have the grace of God, anybody in this room can, and anybody outside of this room can as well. And I know sometimes we don't feel worthy. There are times that I don't. But we have a God that intercedes on our behalf. We've got to know His role as advocate and His role as mediator. Now, the opposite of an advocate is an adversary. By definition, that's an opponent, at law. And we have one named Satan in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, our adversary, the one who accuses us day and night before God, is found in Revelation 12, 10. The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. Satan, who accuses them before our God day and night. Now, Satan is not only opposed to us, he's also opposed to what God is doing in our own redemption through the blood of Christ. So Satan constantly accuses us because he doesn't want to let go of us. And what we've got to understand, if our faith and our repentance has not been baptized, we're not in covenant, and Satan still has the legal right and ownership of our soul. And he will not let go of it easily. He will not. That's why he accuses day and night. And that's exactly why we have to have an advocate named Jesus Christ, because he fights for us and he never stops. But he only fights for his own, you see. If you're not covered by the blood, if you do not have a repentant, sorrowful heart that has been immersed into Christ, Jesus is not fighting for you, and that's the bad news. But as soon as you are immersed into him with true repentance, there is a transformation that comes about that I cannot even begin to put into words. And that is when our advocate goes to bat and he never stops. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. To know that Jesus Christ is constantly my defense attorney before the Lord. We're going to move on from here to number three. Jesus is also intercessor. Now, we just read 1 Timothy 2:5, but if you back up to verse 1, it reads that I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. So not only does Jesus intercede for us, church, we intercede for one another. And we do that as we converse with God over the course of our lives. But James 5:16 is a great example. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. This is emotional healing. This is not some healing from a sickness. This is a spiritual healing and an emotional healing. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So praying for one another's well-being is quite an effective and powerful way to intercede for one another. And what I love is that Scripture says this is exactly what Jesus Christ does for all of us. Not yesterday, but right now, continually. He never stops doing it. Hebrews 7:23 and following, the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. And here's the catch. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus always lives every single day to make intercession for you. And while there were many priests under the old covenant, there had to be, because they continually died. And then they would be replaced by another priest. But Jesus is our high priest perpetually, eternally, and forever. He is our mediator, our advocate, our intercessor. And he never stops fighting for us. Not ever. Not ever. I've not always understood that. And it gives me a whole new excitement and appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Danny, I never thought our conversation would turn into this, but it is reshaping me, and I really appreciate it. But church, there's absolutely no limit to the salvation of Jesus Christ. None. And because he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him, we have great confidence in him. Now, let's take a look at Romans 8:34, and we'll kind of wind this down. But Christ Jesus is he who died, yet rather he who was raised. See, everybody can die, but not everybody can come out of the grave. Amen? Now, Jesus can do that, and he did do that. But watch this. He is at the right hand of God who also intercedes for us. And the whole point is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God right now, praying and interceding for you. Now, we know that intellectually. I know that. Intellectually, you just heard that and you know that. But have you ever been so burdened that you found it hard to pray? Have you ever been at a point in your life where you were trying to connect with God and you just didn't feel like anything was happening, and 30 minutes go by and nothing has still happened? That's maddening, okay? It's frustrating. But I want to say that doesn't frustrate God. And I want you to know that it doesn't shock our God. Look at Romans 8:26. Here comes the Holy Spirit again. The Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray. Scripture makes it clear that we don't know how to pray as we should. It doesn't mean we don't know how to pray at all. We can only go so far because we have human limitations. But there is no limit put on the Holy Spirit or on Jesus Christ. And they are both intercessors for us together. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you go into the Greek, the word groan is defined as the deep sound that erupts from within when pain, longing, and holy desire presses beyond the limits of normal speech. Now that's a mouthful, but that's what's going on. You ever heard anyone wail out and cry in grief and it just chills you to the bone and makes you cry? That's a groan in this context. And that's the way that the Spirit and Jesus groan for us moment by moment by moment and intercede on our behalf to the Father. In church, when we don't have the words, Jesus and the Holy Spirit do have the words. And they're constantly carrying them to the Father on our behalf. That's the intercessory role of Jesus Christ. And honestly, I cannot explain how it works. I can just tell you that it does, and I'm thankful it does. Our job is to believe, not to explain all of it. And that's something that is for our own faith. But at the end of it all, we've got access to God through Jesus Christ day or night. We can go to Him for restoration. We can go to Him for forgiveness. We go to Him for reconciliation, to put us back together with Him from where there's been great distance. And we do it through our high priest. We do it through our mediator, our advocate, and our intercessor. And His name is Jesus Christ. There are no limits with Him, church. You ever heard the phrase, put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Now that's true. But it's only a half-truth. It's only a half-truth. It's an accurate statement, and that statement points backwards in time, you see. It points back to 2,000 years ago to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you see, the work of our Jesus is not finished because He still works on your behalf every single day. Now, what He accomplished at Calvary, now that's finished. That is finished, but Jesus is still working and interceding for every one of us right now. So the work of Jesus is ongoing. Again, the death, burial, and resurrection, now that's a finished work, but it's not His only work, you see. It's really easy to think about Jesus in the past tense. It's a little more difficult for me, at least, to think about Him and how He's working in my life today. But that's exactly what Scripture teaches. Jesus continually stands in the gap between us and the Father, and He is continually washing our sins away, moment by moment by moment, as we sin, if we're in covenant with Him and we continue to keep our eyes and heart focused on Him. And that is the security of our salvation. I never knew it, but Jesus as intercessor is why we don't step in and out of salvation. One moment I'm saved, one moment I'm lost. That is not the salvation of Jesus. The salvation of Jesus is solid, and this is why. He never stops fighting for us, and He never turns us loose. Now, it's one thing if we say we don't want you and we walk away. You got a problem at that point. But if you're wrestling with God, if you're wrestling with your sin, and you're still going to God, that is where the blood of Jesus never turns you loose. And we need to know the difference. That gives us solid security And that is the beauty of the gospel message. So if you struggle to pray, if you feel like you've done too much to approach God, I want you to remember that Jesus never stops providing the grace that you need because he is our active, present day intercessor. So if you want to approach God right now through Jesus, we offer this invitation every Sunday. And this invitation is for you if you want to come forward and be prayed over right now, or if you want to come and be baptized straight into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you would, please come forward as we stand and sing.